You are a part of history. This is a historic time that no one can ever say 10 years from now, they can't say that they were part of this. You can honestly say that back in your day, there was a trial that you had to go through. You had to literally go through a pandemic. You are part of history and you can actually speak to that history and you can actually speak to how you have overcome. And so 10, 20 years from now, you can speak to it. Think about it. When we were younger, college age, everybody remembers our age where we were 9/11. We were part of history. We each one of us has a story about that moment in time. And so what I tell my teens, you have a story about this moment in time. And guess what? Your story is going to be so unique. No one else can match that 10 years from now.
Hi there, everyone.
This is
an exclusive Hot
What's up, guys? It's your boy, Coach B.
Hey, and it's Cammy. We have a wonderful, wonderful guest here today. You guys know we are continuing our Total Wellness series. And today we are going to talk about mental health wellness. And we have Miss Danielle Young with us today. She has a background as a forensic social worker and behavioral health therapist for over 10 years with expertise in teens, adults, couples and families. She's also been a panelist speaker for local youth groups, church groups, and women's spiritual health and wellness. Welcome, Danielle. How you
Hi,
doing?
Everybody. I'm
hey,
great.
Danielle.
How are you guys?
Hey, we are getting through it with, you know, the world changing. We are adapting every day.
Yes, I understand that completely.
Yes, we are so glad to have you with us today because, you know, we need tips as we have told our podcast family over the last week.
Yes,
we need tips to deal with the mental health part and just managing the transitions of life. And I know our guests need it as well. I mean, not our guests, our listeners need it as well. So yes, we are so happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I just want to say that I am so excited to be a part of this movement, the Millennium Empowerment Couple. I've been listening to you all, and I just really enjoy the content that you all are putting out. You're young, you're Black, we're here. You know, we're ready to serve our community and to uplift and empower. So this is an honor for me and I'm really excited.
Wow, I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Danielle.
Danielle, pretty much give us a little information behind your background. And
sure. So I went to college thinking that, one, I thought I was going to be a doctor. And then I said, well, you know what, med school and the bills for med school are pretty expensive. But I'll tell you where it really started for me. When I ended up having to do an internship, I found my own internship through University of Maryland, College Park. That's where I went. Go Terps. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, you know, stepped outside the box because all the internships I found, I didn't really like. So I said, you know what, I'm going to find my own. And I ended up interning at the local circuit court within the family division. It's a special unit. And I literally started from the bottom. I was a file puller. Wherever a judge needed a file, I had to go pull it. You know, you join the ins and outs of daily internships. And from there, I decided that I did want to go into some type of therapeutic work. And of course, it was a long road. I also thought at that time, working at the courthouse, that, well, you know what, maybe I can turn this into becoming a lawyer as well, because I want to help families. I want to help children. And, you know, I want to see justice for those who are, you know, just who have disenfranchisement, or those who are, you know, just struggling to battle against what the law says, what's really happening. And then also for our community, for the African-American community. From there, I ended up going back to grad school. Well, I clerked for magistrates and judges for some time. And I began to see, you know, some of the injustices within the court system. And so from there, I decided I want to go back to school and I want to be able to help these families, these women, these men, these children, these teenagers for a better life, to have a better life. So I ended up going back to school in grad school. I became I went to School of Social Work in Baltimore, but it's still under University of Maryland. And I majored in clinical social work with a minor in community organization. And wow. At the time, I still had the idea, because they had a dual program, a dual JD program, but I would have been in school for about 8 years. It would have just—it just would have been too long.
I understand.
Right, but finally, it really came around. I would say maybe the second or the second year in grad school, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And in between that time, I also did research, and I was able to publish a few articles working with the school. And, you know, so there are some articles out there with my name on it, of course, with a group of researchers. But I decided, yeah, I'm going to go back into the community and I'm going to help our people. I'm going to help also our Latino brothers and sisters. I'm going to help those who are just, you know, who are not on the in the front, who are not up front, who are not getting the resources that they need immediately and instantly, who don't have a certain privilege that others may have. So I ended up going back to the courthouse. That would be my third time back there. And I ended up in forensic social work, which I used to do investigations within a special unit, Family Support Services Unit, where we were investigators. So we, any of the cases that were domestic that did not go straight to court, but needed something more because there was either child abuse or there was something that was just a little bit off. If there were criminal background issues, if there were drug issues, if there were any kind of issues that you can think of that would impact a child negatively, that's what we investigated. So I did that for about 4 years. And in between that time, let me go back. With grad school, I also started therapy. So I was under a licensed therapist. So as an intern therapist. So therapy was still always running in the background, always running in the background. Okay. And for 4 years, I did the investigating. And that, I would say, was quite interesting. At a time, I did enjoy being able to write reports, submit the reports. At times, I was subpoenaed to testify in cases because of a judgment call that I needed to make, that I was licensed to make, regarding placement of a child or a parent needing parenting classes or additional services, or sometimes we would even have to arrange supervised visitation or the recommendation within these court reports for supervised visitation until parents could get themselves to a place where they could function well enough to parent their child in a safe environment. So it's a special unit. I had never heard of it until they opened it up and I applied for the position, interviewed and got the position. I did that for about 4 years. And my last case, and that part of my life is a whole nother story in itself in the legal system. But my last case was just very draining on me because I had a legal obligation. I also have a licensure to where I'm mandated to make the best judgment call to protect children, submit the report to the judge. But also I could see that the implications of those sometimes would impact a family in a negative way. Sometimes it would, by law, it would have to, you know, take a family apart. So a friend of mine actually just messaged me. She had the job interview and she couldn't do it because of whatever obligation she had. And she said, but you know what? I know someone who would be good for the job. She called me up. I interviewed. They wanted to hire me that day. And I was ready. I was ready to say, you know what? I have seen on the front line from a legal perspective what families look like when the legal system has to get into it because you don't have enough skill, or I would say you haven't acquired enough skill or learned the skill, or along the way you have lost the skill to be able to parent and conduct your family in a way where it's private enough that no legal system has to get into it. So I decided I want to go and I want to see this stretch out long term. I want to see and help on a long term basis. How can I help this family heal? How can I help these children heal? How can I help these teenagers heal? How can I help these couples heal? In the court system, you see a lot of divorce. You see the custody. You see the split ups. You see this. You see that. And you know, from my perspective, being as objective as possible, I would have to write those court reports to say it may be best that these children stay with mom, or it may be best that these children stay with dad, mm-hmm. or until mom and dad figure out what they're going to do, it may be best for the children to stay with grandma, auntie, uncle, so on and so forth. And for me, that kind of pulled at my heartstrings. And I said, you know what? I need something more. And when my friend called me and told me, hey, there's a therapy job open, I said, sign me up. So that's how, that's a long story, but pretty much this is how we get to the point where I've been doing back in therapy now. I've been doing this for a little over 4 years.
Wow. Okay. So as a behavioral therapist, I'm guessing you see all stages, like I guess families that are together and trying to stay together, and then the ones that have separated. So you get to see through all stages and hopefully help through all those stages.
Absolutely.
So that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah, with your background and everything that's going on now, the pandemic, social distancing, I just wonder, what are the main issues or difficulties that families or people are facing? Do they come to you with like a common challenge during this specific period?
Yes. So the common challenge, just generally speaking, is basically a loss of total daily function. So it's a loss of what you normally do on a regular basis. And so each family is different. Each family is not cookie cutter, but there is a loss of their daily function. There is a loss of a routine. There's a, you know, there's a shift in the way that you do things on a daily basis. So that's what I see across the board, from the children to my teenagers. And I specialize with teens. I also used to work in truancy court for kids who would, and Coach B, you might know about this, kids who are just not going to school and, you know, in and out of school and missing several days and mom and daddy trying to get them in. And so I specialize with teenagers and young adults, but my young adults, and shout out to class of 2020.
Yeah.
You know, I have about four teenagers who wanted to go to their prom and who wanted to have that graduation and who are actually, I have several that have been accepted into two or more colleges, and we're working on their social functioning. But shout out to them, just wanting to be able to work with them, for them to be able to find a new way and to adapt and to function in this time. And then with my couples, and then with just families in general, the function of the household has just been shifted upside down. Mm-hmm. Wow. And so that's in a general sense, that's what I have been seeing.
Yes. And then just to piggyback on what you said with the class of 2020 as well, I've just seen that on social media, how that has been sort of a traumatizing thing for a lot of young people. And I remember, if it was like a couple of weeks ago, not Facebook, but well, I guess it was on Facebook, they have things that trend like, oh, I'm going to show you my college picture from when I graduated, to give you support. And I just, in my head, when I first saw that, I was like, well, how does that make a person that can't graduate feel good? Like, because they're looking at you when you had your cap and gown to walk across the stage and they can't experience that. And in my head, I said, I don't think that's a good idea. And then before you know it, a week later, so many people were putting posts like, can y'all please stop putting all these posts up of people, of you graduating, because this is really not making class of 2020 feel better. And they're having to cope with it even more and realize like, wow, I missed my prom. I missed my graduation. So I think that's just so interesting with that element. Wow.
Danielle, when I think about it, when you mentioned in education and dealing with kids with healing, this healing process right now, how do you go by shifting that change into positivity right now? And through in third period, and that's why I asked you. So I know, how do you take that to that level where we can actually can give them some positivity? Because again, they still graduating, but at the same time, how do you therapy, like, you know, just on the next level of making them think, okay, God, this is the current situation, but this is how we can turn it to positive.
Right. So I'm glad that you asked that, because right now I am working, well, for my teenagers, March was the month of transition. So everything, the month of transition. And this happened just before the pandemic. But we were already working on transitioning from the mental state of a high schooler to either college or to a working young adult. And so right now, for my high schoolers that are going to college, I say to them, okay, well, you know what? This might not happen for you with the graduation or with the prom or with, you know, celebrating, you know, the summer before your freshman year. But the one thing that no one can ever take away from you is that you made it and that you got accepted into college.
Love that.
And that, that is your history. And you are about to start your college career. Your college career might look a little bit different from the class of 2019. But guess what? You got a college career that's about to begin. And so what you're doing is you're constantly empowering through this different time. And I also tell them, you are a part of history.
Yeah,
this is a historic time.
Man, that's good.
That's what I was thinking.
That's
that
so
no one can ever say 10 years from now, they can't say that they were part of this.
Yeah,
you are a part of history. And I tell them, you know how your grandmama, your granddad back in my day in 19 such and such, you can honestly say
that's
that dope. Back in your day, there was a trial that you had to go through. You had to literally go through a pandemic. Literally cut off the formative part of your senior year, all while still studying, taking exams, graduating, getting accepted into college. You are part of history and you can actually speak to that history and you can actually speak to how you have overcome. And so 10, 20 years from now, you can speak to it. Think about it. When we were younger, college age, everybody remembers our age where we were 9/11. We were part of history. We have, each one of us has a story about that moment in time.
Yeah.
And so what I tell my teens, you have a story about this moment in time. And guess what? Your story is going to be so unique. No one else can match that 10 years from now. So that's one thing, thinking longevity and empowering them from a perspective of you're part of history. And that makes our teenagers feel pretty good. Another thing that I work on daily, and I have my notes here. Another thing that I work on daily is how we all have to work on changing our language. So my kids that I work with, and even my adults that I work with, especially my young adults and my couples, we have to change our language. So speak to the experience, but speak to it positively. So instead of saying like, well, why can't you do this? Or I'm anxious because of this, or I'm depressed because of that. With the why can't you, and this is good for couples too.
Yeah,
with the why can't you, you can say, you know what? Remember that time when you did such and such? That right there made me proud. Remember that time that you said so and so? That right there, that made me feel good. I would love it if you could do that again. Or I can't wait to see you do that again. So what happens is the anxiousness, the anxiety, the depression, the sadness, just recall a time. Speak to the situation now. Don't deny it because it's here. But recall a time where that there was a similar situation and the result was positive. So what you're doing is you're identifying it. You're not denying it, but you're ready for a change.
Okay. I like that because I think it definitely applies to adults and couples, because I think that's something that me and Coach B have had some bumps in the road with as well. Just me feeling, I'm just going to be candid about it. Feeling that I need to vent about something. And I know for myself, like when I vent about it, I just need to vent about it and then I'll be gone. It'll be finished and I can move forward. But I at least have to get out what I'm feeling in the moment about something. And it's particularly like work, like when I go into the field and I'm seeing so many COVID patients working long and hard and you get frustrated with things, right? And so sometimes I will find that Coach B, you don't mind me sharing this, do you, Coach B?
No, please feel free. Danielle, you got the counseling session.
We're having the counseling session right here. Sometimes I will feel that Coach B will like sort of cut me off right in the middle of my event. Like I just need to talk about, okay, yesterday was crazy. And he'll be like, don't be so negative. I'm like, and always try to give me an answer. I'm like, okay, I don't need an answer. I don't need you to resolve anything. I just need to speak about it. And I sense sometimes that maybe he feels like he can't help me with certain things. So he wants to automatically change it to a positive, but I'm like, I don't necessarily need that. I need to just talk about it first and then I can think about the positive. So
What's your take on that?
Okay. So
it's also a two side to it, but I want to get your take though. Go ahead.
Okay. So one of my favorite, favorite things to do with couples is there's a personality scale that I use. I always use this with my couples, and I get about maybe two or three sessions in before I use it with them. And the personality scale basically allows all of us, myself included, so that when I have the clients or when I'm talking to them, I know to match their personality, like match their personality with the processing that I'm giving. Mm. So my favorite thing to do is to do this scale where we're looking at the couple's personality type and their communication style. Mm. So Camila, you might be a more expressive person, where Coach B, you might be more of a driver. Yeah. Or Camila, you might be more analytical and maybe thinking in your head. And so it's the categories are, and I usually don't give this away, but I'm giving it away now.
Hey guys, y'all giving us some pretty nuggets right now. Nuggets, let me tell you.
They're not going to tell you this anywhere else. Listen, now.
That's why you're on the Coach B and Cammy doing our podcast. So go ahead, Danielle.
I usually don't give this away because, of course, with my couples, I'm waiting, first of all, to learn them. Mm-hmm. And most of the time I could tell, like, what personality type one is over the other. But generally speaking, there are four personality types. There's a driver. There's one who is expressive. There's an amiable person, and there is an analytical person. And, you know, I could do a whole nother session on the communication styles and the different matchups between all four. Wow. But for me, you know, starting off with that, and even in my own personal life, starting off with understanding the type of personality that I have, the type of disposition that I have, and how am I going to match this person who has a completely different type of personality, different type of temperament, but that we are on the same page. So it's not that we're always battling or clashing heads, but because I know you are a driver and you know that I'm analytical, which is on the opposite spectrums, a driver is someone who will say or who will do or who's ready to go, you know, ask questions later, let's do it now. Mm-hmm. An analytical person is like, well, the who's, the what's, the when's, the where's, the why's, the how. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes very hard because an analytical person sometimes might be so much in their head, it might frustrate the driver. Or the driver might be so quick to move that it might frustrate the analytical person who has a schedule, who has a routine, who has it down packed, who knows from the beginning to the end, steps 1 through 10, whereas the driver's like, forget about 2 through 9.
Danielle, have you been spying on us? Can you get out of our house? Are you spying on us? Like, what is going on? How are you figuring this out?
I mean, I have been doing this for a long time.
I love it. Please continue.
I have been doing this for, you know, and yeah, I'll pat myself on the back, but that's only because of years and years and years. First of all, from the legal perspective, always having to observe, always having to investigate, always having to ask, you know, 4 or 5 questions more than what the general public would ask within a case. So I learned those investigative skills. That's number one. So I can use that in therapy to ask, you know, more probing questions to clients. And then number two, I must say that I have been listening to you all. I've been listening to your podcast, and I hear, you know, through the sound waves, I hear some of the, let's just say some of the challenges that you present. But oftentimes when I'm listening to you too, you kind of work it out on air, or maybe you've worked it out before and you're presenting it to your audience. You're giving them content to say, listen, you know, these things happen in marriages. These things happen in relationships. These things happen with parenting and so on and so forth. But we work it out. We communicate. We talk about it. We empower each other. We encourage each other. So, yes, hopefully I answer your question. I wanted to add one more thing too, if that's
yes,
okay.
Yes, please.
I wanted to go back really quick to another question that you had about teenagers and about the time that is now, and maybe some of the confusion or the frustration that they are dealing with. I have a 17-year-old brother who's going to be 18 in 2 weeks. We're 20 years apart, exactly. Wow. Parents been married for almost 40 years, so he's like my baby, okay? Yes. But I also use him to help with the teenagers that I work with because he's going through it right now, and he actually went through, you know, the same things that I like to get into a little bit later about this whole process. But what I want to say to the teenagers who may be listening, or if you want to just give this back to them, with changing the language. So one of my teens who is extremely, she has social anxieties, but she's so excited about college. And so she's always talking about how anxious she is or how depressed she is and how she wanted to make friends, but virtual college class is going to limit her from making friends. So there's two things that I want to take the power away from this anxiety that we have. Okay. This is not to deny anxiety, mm-hmm. because we do have it. We do feel it. But what I like to say is that changing the words to, I have an expectation. I don't quite know what's coming, but I have an expectation that X, Y, and Z will happen. And if you put a positive spin on the expectation of the unknown, it's visualizing it. It's putting it into work. I actually listened to one of your podcasts where the minister, I think it's Matthews.
Oh, yeah, Pastor Matthews.
Yes. Pastor Matthews, he had said something that I'm like, ah. You know how like somebody says something, you wish that you had it. You wish that you said it. Uh-huh. But he was talking about how the difference between playing basketball and practicing basketball and then visualizing making the free throws. I don't know anything about sports. So I was about to say touchdown. I don't know. But you know what I mean. Playing basketball and visualizing it. And those who visualize it more from a positive spin, they have an expectation. I'm going to make those free throws each time.
Yeah.
So with your teenagers or with your students that are, you know, like, man, I don't know what next year's going to be like. Okay, well, say this. You don't know. That's true. But have an expectation that next year is going to be better, even with this circumstance. Wow. It's going to be better. And then also, if that's not working, then you can say, I have a healthy amount of anticipation. A healthy amount of anticipation that is causing me to feel extremely cautious. That is a lot to say, but that basically means you're anxious.
Anxious, yeah, but it's a different spin. So you feel, because that's another thing, when you become anxious, the anxiety makes you even more anxious, right? And you sort of feel trapped in, why am I so anxious? And then it's like you're just, it's like you're continuing this like ball of anxiety. And you feel like, oh, how can I get out of this? So I actually like that, just rewording that situation. Wow. And then the communication part, I just want to go back to that. Communication just changes so much when you're dealing with these transitions, especially couples or parents, parenting and understanding the other person. And that communication is key. Just trying to figure it out. My goodness. So currently, are you doing like online sessions, I'm guessing?
Yes. So I'm doing telehealth as well. And I definitely identify with you where sitting at a screen for 8 hours or more and having, again, to match that person, or in this instance, not necessarily matching them, but bringing them up. So if I have a client who's depressed and I already know that they are diagnosed with depression and I'm seeing that they are depressed, I have to bring my level up so that, you know, they can at least match me and meet me at some point by the end of the session. It could be just one thing, but if I've been able to process with them, and they are able to give into the process and say, you know what, I'm going to work towards the goal. And if the goal today is just actually to smile, I'm going to try to make somebody laugh in a session.
Wow. Yeah.
And they met the goal. And what you do is you say, you know what, I'm proud of you. As a matter of fact, you should be proud of yourself. You done met the goal to laugh today. As a matter of fact, you didn't not only laugh, but you slapped your knee when you laughed. I mean, you know, yeah, so telehealth is what I'm doing right now. And it's a challenge. You understand, my little brother stays with me from time to time, you know, might be playing on the video games too loud and I have to say, hold on just a moment. But, you know, put it on mute, close the camera down, knock like, bruh, I'm in session right now.
Yes, like, yes.
And then you come back and you, yes, so what was I saying? You know, go back to your professional tone. But yeah, now, so I'm doing a telehealth.
Do you find that it's still as effective, the online, as in person for most of your clients? Are they telling you like, oh, it's different, or they like it one way or the other, or not really?
So it's half and half, to be honest with you. Some of my adult clients, they can deal with it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. My teenagers are really having a hard time because I'm there. I'm more of a demonstrating type therapist, or we're doing activities, or, you know, I am on it because you have a treatment goal. You have several goals to meet and I need to make sure that I'm there. So for some of my clients, I can see that there is a decline. And as much as I can virtually, I'm trying to implore them and compel them, continue with your goal, honor the commitment that you made to therapy. And then with the little kids, honestly, it's just all about trying to find as many interactive, but still therapeutic activities and games to keep them entertained.
So I know you said you had something. I just wanted to know what was that some that you had that you were going to do, go through? Because I don't know if we were going to touch on it, but I didn't want to forget about that because I
okay.
am interested in knowing what that is. Because sure. I was going to ask you about, are there any tips of like daily routines or practices for people to keep their bam. Okay. Get their mental health.
Yay.
Going up to
I have day. It right yeah. here. I have. Okay. So for total daily functionality, that's yes. right here. Yay.
Wonderful.
Okay. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, about 6 categories and it's really short, but this is what, I want to preface this too, that there are many different, modalities. There are many different, forms of therapy. There are many different practices and perspectives of therapy. So this is just the group and population that I'm working with that works best for them.
Good.
So I just want to kind of cover that. Okay. So let's talk about total wellness, right? Total wellness is your total daily function. Total wellness for you could just be, for some people, could just be waking up. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
But if I am going to go ahead and just give you a map of total wellness, we're talking 6 categories. First, we have physically and medically. Okay.
Yes.
Physically and medically, you want to be able to get your body going, exercise, walk, run, play with the kids, do something that will allow you to become active, even if it's just walking in place. Mm-hmm. Eating right. Let me tell you, this quarantine has caused me to gain 10 pounds. And I'm not liking that. So I'm like, oh, no, I gotta get it together.
But at least you're keeping the track of it, I guess, so you can stop it. Yeah. Okay.
I am. The numbers don't, you know, the numbers.
You know, you look good, girl. Stop playing, everybody. Daniel's gorgeous. Okay.
Oh, thank you. I'm blessed. I'll just put it that way. Thank you, mama and daddy. eating right. So eating right for you, eating right for me may be different for you. And the reason why I say medically is because we have to make sure if you're taking care of yourself, that you're taking all your medications correctly. So if you have high blood pressure, especially in our community, our Latino communities, our Asian communities, our minority communities, make sure that you're taking your medication the right way. Just because you feel good one day, don't skip it. So we are also going to be seeing higher rates of high blood pressure because of stress, fatigue, you know, make sure you take your blood pressure medication, your cholesterol medication, your diabetic medication, any medication that the doctor says you're supposed to take, make sure that you take them because this is part of your daily function and wellness.
Yes.
Also, this is very important. And I believe that myself and a lot of us have had challenges with sleep regulation.
Oh my gosh.
Because we are in quarantine, I have to ask sometimes, what day is it?
Danielle, is this number 2 or I'm keeping a
this
note?
Is,
I'm trying
this,
to keep
is,
my list.
This is physically/medically. So this is one category.
Okay.
One category.
Gotcha.
All right. So keeping your sleep pattern, everything that you had before, try your best to keep it now. All right. So we're on category number 2, which is connected to the physical and medical wellness. Let's just look at the science of it all and the dietary portion of it all. So again, making sure that you're eating healthy, but also avoiding any type of food toxicity, which basically means, you know, avoiding any unhealthy foods that will make any levels go up or down. Making sure that you're also taking the medication to regulate those levels from going up or down. And then from the dietary portion also, watch your emotional eating. So I'm not necessarily an emotional eater, but I'm going to get to what I am. emotional eating.
And then even with toxicity, I guess alcohol can go under there as well, because a lot of people are drinking
yes.
during this time.
Yes. Mm. So our agency is actually... and I can get that to that a little bit later as well. But seeing an influx of not only just on the domestic side of things, like with abuse and you know, domestic violence, but also, like you said, increase in alcohol intake. At first, it appeared to be funny, or it appeared to be cool, or, you know, you see the memes on the social media. But for those who really have a diagnosed challenge of alcoholism or substance abuse, or I do have one specific client, one or two, with prescription drug abuse because of their anxiety, because of their depression, and this quarantine is causing those levels to increase. They're taking their medications more and more when they shouldn't. Yep. And that's another reason why it is important. Take the medication as prescribed, not based on how you feel. Mm-hmm. All right. And then there's number three, there is the financial wellness side. So this is where I kind of come in. So avoiding unnecessary shopping and spending.
Wow.
I mean, let me tell you, Amazon has become my best friend. I mean, they may as well, you know, have a whole store for me, because,
It's crazy that you mentioned that, because when I was at work a couple of days ago, a young lady was saying that she has been basically a shopaholic since the pandemic. And I didn't think about that, because that's not like my crutch right there to like do a lot of shopping. But a lot of people were like chiming in and saying, me too, I can't stop. So it's like, yeah, everybody's leaning on something that feels good to them.
Yes. Remember, we are at a loss of our daily functioning, our daily routine. So you're starting to see the extremes, you know, one extreme to the other. Mm-hmm. And so financial wellness. Now, the last three are what I definitely work in with my regular clients, and then also from a ministry standpoint. So we're dealing with mental health and emotional health. So to increase or improve your daily functioning, you want to make sure that there is a positive self-talk, a positive inner voice.
I like that.
Positive inner voice and inner peace. And, you know, to get there mentally, to get there emotionally, you must, it's almost, again, going back to that reference to the basketball. If you envision it, if you speak to it, if you change the conversation, if you change the language, slowly but surely, you will start to see your wellness increase in the mental and emotional area. And I want to say this, that from a therapeutic practice and even spiritually, it takes 3 weeks to create just a regular pattern of something, whatever you decide to do, good or bad. But let's go with the good. 3 weeks to create a pattern. Yep. After a pattern, then there comes this routine. And then after routine, there's a way of life. So I always explain that to my clients, to anyone that I happen to, you know, come across or who's asking a question about improving this or that. Well, first we got to start. We got to start. And then after we start, you got to keep that going. Create a pattern for yourself, and then start a routine for yourself. And then after, whether it's, you might stop, you might start again, but it will become a way of life. So that's from a mental and emotional perspective.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, keep going.
The fifth one is very important for all of us to understand about psychosomatic reactions. Mm. So with psychosomatic reactions, psycho meaning the mind, somatic meaning the body. During this quarantine, and even times of just stress or just times of concern or times of worry, our mind is so powerful that it impacts our body. So we may experience pain because of stress. We may experience fatigue because of stress. Absolutely. We may experience anxiety, and we may experience panic attacks, which causes our breath to shorten, which causes our heart to palpitate, which causes us to go into all kinds of areas of the unknown. And what I will say to my clients then is that now we are creating scenarios that have never happened based off of this anxious moment that we're having.
And do they consider that as a feelings, or do they consider it as just the anxiety moment of it? What would you consider that?
Anxiety. Okay. I got some notes here. So let me.
I'm asking a good question.
Well, I'm asking some real good questions, because I want to also, clients feel the result of the anxiety. They feel it, psycho, meaning the mind, because of their emotion, their thought process, they're revving themselves up. And then somatic, it's happening in the body. It is manifesting itself in the body. Wow, so the feeling that you have from your thought process is now manifesting itself into your body, which then emits the anxiety, which then emits the depression, the confusion, the panic attacks, the anxiety attacks. So if I'm going, which is my sixth and final one from a spiritual perspective, remember, we're talking about total daily functioning. And I believe that your audience does have a spiritual connection. You all talk about God all the time. I love that. You know, I love the Lord, you know, and I'm and if it's not for family, friends, and faith, a lot of us really wouldn't be here.
There you go, right there.
Right? So if I'm going from a spiritual perspective and still talking about daily functioning, from a spiritual perspective, we also just yearn and we have a desire for ordered steps. Right. Mm-hmm. We know that song, Order My Steps.
Yes.
We have a yearning and desire for ordered steps, whether we confess it out loud, whether we know it, or whether we're just moving through the motions and God is just keeping us. We do have a desire for ordered steps. We have a desire for connectedness. So connectedness to God and connectedness to people and to friends and family. We also have a desire for our paths not to be disrupted. Mm-hmm. And for total wellness from a spiritual perspective, we don't want any disruptions that are disrupting our spirit, that are disrupting our prayer time, our prayer life, our connectedness with our family, our friends, with our job, with our money. All of this is connected.
Yeah. So
from a spiritual perspective, it's very important that we show discernment or pray for it, because that's something that you have to acquire and that you have to you know, constantly grow to, for there to be no disruption within your path.
Like,
and then
that.
meditate, go outside. I mean, the scripture does say that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So listen, if I'm in his earth, if I'm in his earth and he made this his creation, why not from a spiritual perspective, go outside and enjoy God's creation. Mm-hmm. Go outside, take a walk, you know, breathe in some air, you know, 15 minutes right now, since we're in a pandemic, you know, go outside for 15 minutes and then come back inside. make sure that you wear your mask and gloves and things like that. I don't want your audience to be like, wait a minute now.
If it's like an open space, it's completely fine. You can be out there because sun and radiation actually kills a lot of virus bacteria. But of course, if you're like in a crowd, not like a picnic barbecue outside, like no
ma'am.
So, far from people.
So I can't go by mom and them. I can't go by mom and them house and just enjoy myself.
No swimming pool, nothing like that. But no, outside. And when I tell you that connection of being outside with nature, it completely calms my spirit down. The sun, hearing the birds, the breeze, the air. It's everything, just sitting in the earth, like on the ground, touching.
It's God's creation.
Yes. And I feel like it grounds me and I feel connected spiritually, more connected, you know.
And there's a scripture, I know that I'm not quoting it quite right, but during this time, you know, just reflecting and just, you know, praying and like asking God, like, God, what is it that you're trying to say? You know, what is it that you're trying to do? I mean, there's so much loss and there's so much grief, and I have something on that too, but you know, there's a scripture and I'm not quoting it the right way, I'm sure, but it says something like, be silent, for the Lord is in his temple. This is a time for us to be silent, a time for us to be still, you know, try to hear from him. You know, if it is going on that walk, you know, understanding his beauty and understanding what the world was created for, why we were created, who we were created to be, you know, getting back to center, getting centered, getting that connectedness back where, I mean, this is still spiritual functionality, you know, the yearning and desire for the ordered steps. So God, whatever you're doing, it must be to put things in order. I don't understand it.
Yes.
But the Bible also talks about, you know, the mysteries of God, and that, you know, even God's foolishness is wiser than man. You know, listen, I'm also a missionary too. So, you know, I know the word, but you know, it's all about service too. You know, it's all about.
I love that.
Yeah.
So I just want to ask, just because I've always wondered that with people who are in mental health, or do cognitive therapy, how do you keep yourself grounded? Because it's like when you are talking with people, you take on a lot of things and you know, you feel all their emotions, their trauma, hearing it repeatedly, especially where you used to work, like that's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't want to get that personal, but do you guys have therapists?
Yes.
Like, how do you manage?
Y'all would be so surprised how many therapists have therapists. Okay.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I believe from a pastor standpoint, also as a motivation, like I tell people, I'm coming to empower you, but I need empowerment as well. I can't give you nothing out the tank if I don't have anything to refill with it.
Yes. I can speak for myself now. Therapists, counselors and therapists would understand we receive, quote unquote, supervision. Supervision basically is you're going over your cases, but oftentimes you can use that time to have therapy for the therapist. So your supervisor is there for you to be able to talk about your cases, but also talk about how your cases are impacting you. Mm-hmm. So if there is transference or counter transference, whether the issues that you have in your own home are coming off onto your client, mm-hmm. or whatever your client is going through but not telling you, and now they're projecting it onto you. I mean, those are types of things that you definitely need to like unleash. And, you know, of course, we pray to God. And of course, we, you know, cast our cares upon him. But what I will also say is, you know, we also need that person, that in-person person. And God gives people the skill to be able to bear some of the weight that we have. And it's a give and take. So I would definitely recommend people to go to therapy, especially within our communities and minority communities. But also for the therapists who do not have therapy. I mean, I've also received therapy last year because of a lot of things that were going on that were, you know, it just culminated into this one big old ball of stress and needing to have someone to talk to make sure, am I doing things the right way? Am I useful as a therapist anymore? I can help these people, but I can't even help my own self in my own personal life. And what they do is they give you the tips and the skills and the strategies and techniques that you would give your client, and you walk away feeling better. And, you know, I know maybe back in the day it was shunned, or, you know, you whatever happens in this house stays in this house. But let me tell you, from a court perspective, whatever happens in this house stays in this house, sometimes can end you up in the courtroom, and then a judge is having to tell you how to live your life.
Wow.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
Danielle, well, my goodness, we could probably go on and on. We might have to have you on again
another topic. I would love to come on. There's so much I didn't even get to.
I know, and it's so much to talk about just in regards to mental health. And also, you know, outside of mental health, social work, you are an artist, you know?
You know,
she does so many other things. I'm sure that helps as well. So we'll probably have to have you on another time so we can get into some other things. You are just a fantastic guest we had today.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I truly enjoyed myself. I've been preparing. I mean, I have so much more that I would definitely want to share with your audience. And if I'm afforded the opportunity to come back, I would love it.
Danielle, before we even leave, what you want to actually, one thing that you could tell the viewers or the people that's listening right now, just a kind of a daily thing, like you talked about the total bodiness, the wellness that we're talking about, your life, your body, your mind, your soul. What's something that you could probably, one thing you want to let them know, like, hey, this is who you are, Danielle Young. If you want to pull you up, how can they find you? Stuff like that.
Okay, sure. Well, from a therapeutic side, if you would like to find out a little bit more about therapy and about signing up, or just if you want to inquire, you can email me at dyoung@abhmaryland.com. That is my professional email, and I do work for a therapeutic agency, but I can also give you some great referrals to great therapists. Right now, our agency is actually taking Medicaid. So our clients who don't have private insurance, who don't have the opportunity to sign up for therapy, that's all we're taking right now. It'll open back up to private insurance a little bit later, but I do have plenty of therapist colleagues and friends that I can give referrals to. So dyoung@abhmaryland.com. And then just from, you know, outside of therapy, just from a creative perspective, I do have a company that right now is, you know, just kind of on the low right now. I'm putting out content every now and then, but it's D-Bell's Tapestry. And basically the purpose behind that was that a tapestry, if you look at it from far away, it's this beautiful picture, but when you go close up, there's so many different pieces and pictures and colors and that make up this one big piece of art. And we are all not just one thing. We are so many things that create a tapestry. So that's where D-Belle's Tapestry came from. So you can catch me on Instagram at D.B-E-L-L-E Tapestry, Tapestry at the end with an E on Instagram. And, you know, check me out. Check out the content. If you like it, you know, like and you know, just enjoy it.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it, Danielle. You know what's so great about it is that those six steps you gave, the knowledges, the nuggets that you just gave, I'm waiting to see a book. Do you got a product coming out soon? You got something else? I mean, because just, you know, let me
okay.
know.
So it, I, okay. So I'll put it this way. The Rona, coronavirus, 2020.
That Rona.
Has put a pause, I'll say, a pause. It has not, it's not a dream denied or even a dream deferred. It's just a little bit delayed. Okay. But I have a friend and we have been talking about creating online courses. So for those who are not quite ready for therapy, but who want to get something or even something like this, you know, through a podcast, but if they want to know a little bit more, we had been in the talks of creating a couple of courses online that you can access, that you can pull up at any time. You can listen to it when you want. You can put it on pause when you want. That is still in the making. So it is just a dream delayed a little bit. And when it is in full, you know, effect, I'll let you guys know.
Yes. And maybe come back on. That'll be a great time to come back on. That sounds so practical too. I love
that. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. Cause you know, what's crazy, you know, Coach B and also Cam and Coach B, we actually about to do something where we partner with people with the podcast show.
Yeah. We're trying, so we're helping other people create their podcasts. Yeah, there's so many people so that have been inquiring about it. So
yes,
we're branching into
it.
Another aspect as well.
That's so awesome.
Yes.
Again, guys, you just heard it from the greatest. I tell you right now, I was in the mold. I know you guys was listening. I know you enjoyed it if you're driving around. Guys, give it up again for Danielle Young, man. We are so excited to have you here, Danielle.
Thank you all so much. All right. Bye, everybody.